and enchantingly strode away. Four, five, six lengths in front. Battle for the Miners, strike in style, Whirly's last chance, a ray of sunshine and Kong, but enchantingly is going to destroy them in the last, enchantingly by 7.5 lengths. Strike in style, a ray of sunshine, Whirly's last chance, then
well,
Kong.
Well, it was a walk in the park last start, and I wonder whether trainer Scott Westover and all the connections who bought this horse to take up north and have some fun with ever envisaged they'd be racing on a Group 1 feature race day at Caulfield in a Group 3 race with a genuine chance. Scott joins us this morning. Morning, Scott. How are the nerves?
Morning, all. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, look, I'm box walking in those terms. I'm pacing up and down the yard. It's pretty nerve-wracking. But, yeah, look, it's been a great ride, a great thrill. And like I said, it's going to be a long wait, but we're very happy to be there.
And, Scott, tell us the story about how you got this this mare. Quite extraordinary for, A, the amount of money. And was it on the internet?
Yeah, so she was on the English online digital sale. As you know, it's just the best platform at the moment to buy horses. And we purchased her in December because I knew I was moving to South Australia. So we were looking for just a nice provincial horse at the time. And she was on the one of the later lots. And we purchased her for $7,000. And we thought, you know, we'll have a nice bit of fun around, you know, the provincial tracks here in South Australia. And little did we know she'd go to win in Metropolitan Grade by 7.5 lengths, let alone, starting $10 in a Group 3 over the Spring Carnival.
It's like you've unlocked some secret with Enchantingly, because whatever it is, Chris Waller, she didn't show this to Chris Waller. And as you say, you bought her with no expectations because you had some measure of ability and she cost $7,000, but she's found 10 lengths. How do you explain that?
It's the question everyone's been asking. Look, it might just be, I'm a smaller stable, spend a lot more time with her. She's at the moment, obviously, with this pin-up girl in my stable, so we give her a lot of looking after. It's just one of those things, she might have didn't appreciate going the Sydney way of going. Who knows? She's been here and, she's... Well, we'll find out today if she's up to that level, but she's just thriving, and I can't put my finger on it. It's just a good feel story.
So has Chris been on the phone saying, now tell me, Scott, what are you doing?
I'd like Chris call me because someday you might get to speak to Chris Waller. But, look, it's just been a great story, and, she's a lot of people are talking about her, and it's been great for myself and my little stable, so... we're hoping she can perform one more time for us today.
I've spoken to a few. Dennis Pagan was a good example of the crossover between training footballers and training racehorses, and that there are enough similarities where you can sort of use one to some degree with the other. Has there been any footy sort of methodology with the way you've trained Enchantingly? I know a lot of trainers now use heat training where they sort of have short, sharp bursts of training and things like that. Is there any parallel between the way you were trained as a footballer and the way you're training Enchantingly?
Yeah, so look, we've kept a very, as you know, very very short, very sharp. I don't like to work them too hard. You see a lot of the trainers, they can go, seven home three or six home three, and she's just very, very short and sharp, four home ones, four home twos. And I think that's why at the moment you see she's been able to run home in these real slick times. I think last week she ran home 34-1, and that's very quick time. And I think it's just more so, like I said, the short, sharp burst. We keep her very fresh. She does a lot of swimming, beach work. So, yeah, it's just, Dennis, he would know how it goes. And, we'd like to make sure that she's got that powerful sprint to finish the race.
So what are you thinking today then?
Pardon?
I was going to say, what are you thinking today then?
Look, I just got off the phone to Luke himself. There's a bit of speed inside us. Miss Albania scratched Hope as well is probably a blessing. Look, but I said to him, look, mate, she's going to jump out. She'll take a stride or two to get going. But if she could lead or sit outside the leader, I think that'd be great. If not, she'll probably be in the first four for sure. But I've left it up to Luke entirely. He knows the horses and jockeys better than I do over there. So... you don't need to give the good jockeys instructions. They'll go out there, and he said he's watched the replays, so he knows the method, and I'm just left it all up to his hands.
Scott, when the mayor won first up, that was your first city success as a trainer in Adelaide. You'd come back from Alice Springs. You'd been there base for a while. And look, it was very emotional. And to put into perspective for a lot and adding to that emotion was a number of years ago in October 2014, your partner at the time, Caitlin Forrest, was killed in a fall. And, you know, it would have been obviously a very difficult time. Going to Alice Springs, was that a part of that? And how did you go about living in the centre of Australia for that period?
Yeah, well, I've got my mum and dad up there, which was great. At the time, my weight as a jockey was struggling in South Australia, and I sort of just lost a lot of motivation to do it in that aspect. And mum and dad called me and said, why don't you come home? And I rode there for a few years. I won the Alice Springs Cup in 2015, and it was more so to get with the family again. It was a long time. I was in Adelaide when I was a 14-year-old kid. I've got no family here. It was just to get away from the circuit here. You know, she was obviously such a great rider herself, and everywhere you went, you know, people would bring it up, and it gets to you a fair bit. But look, we went home, and I was there for 5 years, and here we are now back here training.
It's been an amazing story, Scott, and you mentioned riding. There could be another chapter as well, because you're in the midst of a comeback. How close are you to jumping back in the saddle yourself?
No, look, mate, it was always touch and go. But I think with this girl, my main aspect was to train, and she sort of put my name up in the lights a little bit the last month. So look, the comeback's on the back burner at the moment. I still ride and jump out my own track work, but I just like going and eating food. So,
you've got something to celebrate now too.
Yeah, look, I'm just going to concentrate real hard on the training, and that's what I come here for. I'm going to be realistic. I'm not, you know, not a small person. I'm quite tall, and look, I got down to about 60 and a half, and the body was just said, look, it can't do it. So I still enjoy riding track work, jump out. So what more do I want? You know, I'm living my dream at the moment.
Hey, where will you be watching today?
Undecided. Probably I might just walk across to the pub and watch it on my own. So I get a little bit nervous, you know, knowing that I think we are a realistic chance in the race. So I'll just like to go watch it somewhere in my own space, and if I get a bit excited, no one's going to judge me.
Well, mate, good luck today. It's one of the great fairy tale stories, a bunch of owners getting together, buying her for not much, and you've exploded her ability in the last couple of starts, and she's a genuine chance today in the How Now Stakes. Best of luck, mate.
No worries. Thank you very much, boys.